Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The cliché about avoiding talk involving religion and politics in polite company exists for good reason. Even when it's not a contentious election season, legislation around issues like reproductive rights, LGBTQ healthcare, education, and homelessness can cause divisions. And that very much applies to people of faith, especially those in congregations with folks who ascribe to the same faith tradition but hold different positions on social and cultural issues. Eden Theological Seminary in St. Louis began a program called Praxis Cohorts earlier this year to help lay people and clergy lead to support their navigation of difficult conversations involving politics. Stephen Lawler is the founding director of the Walker Institute of Leadership at Eden Theological Seminary. He joins us now to talk about a breakfast event that's happening this week and how the event fits into the larger purpose of the Praxis Cohorts program. Steve, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you so much for having me here.
The free in-person breakfast panel and discussion I just noted is called Faithful Responses to the 2024 Election, and it happens this Thursday, September 5th, at Eden Theological Seminary's Webster Groves campus. Can you tell us about what is being covered during that breakfast?
Sure. We're really delighted that we have three people who will be with us who have different trajectories into this very question. Like, how do I, as a faithful leader, navigate this season when I may have very strong commitments and beliefs? And there may be others that I am with in the congregation or in the community or other places who have a different take on it. So how do I faithfully respond, both with my own integrity, but also in a way that builds connection and relationship, and some of the things we heard mentioned in the last segment.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have a discussion. Representative Barbara Pfeiffer, who is also a retired Methodist pastor and the current Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, will be there. DeMarco Davidson, who directs, is executive director of Metropolitan Congregations United and does a lot of community work. And then the Reverend Aaron Rogers, we hope will be with us. He's a little under the weather today.
Right.
And he has developed a program that's called Beautiful Bridges, which is really a way to connect congregations that may have a different perspective and a different theological flavor mm-hmm. To one another to keep that kind of bond and to grow understanding.
Mm-hmm. And we're sorry that we're missing Reverend Aaron Rogers today. He was supposed to join us, but he's on the mend very
yes.
well on the way, I hope. So the timing of this particular breakfast, it is a free breakfast panel. There's going to be discussion. We're 62 days away from the election. Why is this conversation happening now?
Well, just as a little backdrop. So I am the past director of the Walker Leadership Institute and now devoted to this work.
Mm.
That institute was founded by Carolyn Burt Walker, Carolyn alum, Burt, her spouse, and Burt was a former ambassador under George W. Bush. So Eden's theological frame and tradition is one that is deeply rooted in the progressive Christian tradition. Ambassador Walker's commitments were to maybe a moderate part of the Republican Party. So we mm-hmm. had as our roots this sense that how can we do this collaborative work together? And the person that has been a co-designer of this program with me, the Reverend Dr. Willis Johnson, is somebody I met when we were both pastors in Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
And he really has done a lot of work to move forward what is called deliberative democracy. So how do we, in a reflective and clear way, act as people in democracy? We, both of us and many others, heard growing anxiety with clergy who were in so-called purple congregations.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those are rural congregations, sometimes they're not. Sometimes those are congregations that have in the past not had as much conversation directed by members of the congregation as they do now, because this is a political season. People are talking about it. Mm-hmm. I often say that it's the biggest advertising campaign that any of us experience every 4 years, where there's just something going on our phones, on the web, in paper. So it seemed like this was a real need that religious leaders had, who wanted to do this artfully.
Mm-hmm. And when you say purple, just to be very clear, you're talking about spaces in which there are people who are Republican and people who are Democrat.
Yes.
A mix of those.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this breakfast and Praxis cohorts as a whole, what is the relationship between these? Is there a difference between what will be happening on Thursday morning and what folks who've been part of Praxis cohorts programs in the past? What is the relationship between these?
So there's been a lot of work done in this process. And so we started in January with a half-day workshop. And that had a variety of speakers. But in each instance, those presentations, five of them, had two people in conversation. And what we heard is that people really appreciated that learning, because the two people that we put in conversation had some different perspectives. So they were operating different ways or doing different things. That's continued. So we now have a total of 9 of those that we've convened. And the participants, each of the speakers or presenters, has brought a really interesting kind of perspective. So mm-hmm. if I can just mention a couple, we were
sure.
Grateful to have the authors of the book, The Rural Voter, who are two professors of government. So to hear them in conversation, and I was joined in that conversation by Sarah Malott of the Daily Yonder.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was with the Irish poet Padraic O'Toole, who for many years ran a center for peacemaking in Belfast, and a woman poet who is in rural South Carolina, who is part of a program that's called Speaking Down Barriers. So mm-hmm. to have these people talking in genuine conversation and sharing their insights and their wisdom became kind of the genius of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so this will be another opportunity. This one's live, but it'll be another opportunity to hear people who are trying to, like as I said earlier, artfully manage and lead mm-hmm. in this tumultuous season live.
Is there an example, a concrete example of the way those who've participated in these Praxis cohorts conversations are making some kind of difference that is not just about conversation, but actually moving, you know, from head to head to, you know, hands involved in something and heart to heart?
Yes, yes. There's a couple I can think of, but one I'll just lead with, and that is, and you identified it so well, oftentimes we do try to go ahead, you know, thought to thought and have debates or change people's minds. There is a notion from Rabbi Jonathan Sacks that start first with getting people's hands involved. And so in Salt Lake City, a UCC pastor who is married, she is married to a woman, was noticing a large number of homeless teens.
Mm-hmm.
And so she started a program to give them at least a place to come in and warm and try to figure out how they could move with them. And some of these teens were as young as 13 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking to a woman who was active in the local Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints leadership. And the woman was a little dumbstruck by this. This just didn't seem right to her, given the values of her church, that there would be teenagers who would be homeless. And what they, in conversation, explored was how they might engage this. And the woman came to see the center and also discovered that a lot of these youth were out the door because they came out to their parents, and mm-hmm. their parents just couldn't manage what that meant. They rejected them. And so that began a real relationship between Marian Allen Edmonds and this woman leader, and they have created a whole program to respond to this that is everything from working to help find placements to feeding to, you know, winter coats, a whole host of things. And so that's one of those where they weren't going to get to an agreement point by debating it, but they started working on it together, and their hearts have become very connected. And so that's one example that I think really talks about how you do the work. Mm-hmm. Is you don't show up with your ideas and try to, you know, figure it out on that level. You show up with your willingness to work on something and find something meaningful to work on. Mm-hmm. And then through that work, you begin to build the kind of relationship where you can have these tougher conversations.
Right. So to that tougher conversations point, other than homelessness, are there other political issues that are being broached within congregations where there is a split or a potential split because of political or social or cultural values that are held by some people and not others?
Yeah, I would say what I've heard from, and this is really smaller town and rural pastors, is that they have, in some sense, really amplified the things that people in the congregation do together that have impact for others. And so if you're talking about one congregation I can think of in particular has a program where it's rural, it's a farm community. Farmers will allocate a portion of their land now, and that raises money so that goes for feeding programs in the area. So if you started talking about why there's hunger and started talking about some of those issues, there might be more tension involved in that, or more of a sense of who should decide how that gets managed. But when you say to somebody who's farming, would you set aside part of your land and have that crop go to feed people in our community, in our county, they're excited about that mm-hmm. and feel that. So that took some nuance because of just the organizations that were involved and whether people wanted to read them as political organizations
right.
or as impact and response organizations.
Mm-hmm. So in any conversation that has to do with religion, I think the question of purpose is going to come to mind for many people. And what Praxis Cohorts is not, it's not about converting others. Would that be a correct statement?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the genesis of the idea of practice, right, is doing something to improve it, right? So, and so in this particular case, the improvement that might happen for me is listening better and more clearly to some members of my family who have a very different religious framework than my own, and not showing up in that conversation as the knower, but finding out how I might connect with them in some new ways so that when they reflect on our conversation, it isn't as a, oh, that went poorly, but it says, oh, I think that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that before.
Right. So in our last minute, Steve, there is the election season. So what is happening on Thursday in Praxis Cohorts? How is it relevant both pre-November 5th and then perhaps more significantly after the election is over?
Well, it's easy to be selective about reading news or hearing news, but I loved that I saw yesterday an article that said that there's some growing optimism. The percentage of people that are pessimistic about the future of America is shrinking. Mm-hmm. So I think this practice of connecting, being the body politic together, not dismembered, is really an art and a sort of call for us who live in a democratic society. Mm-hmm. So I think yes, it's right now because it's timely, but it's for the duration because it's necessary.
Right. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.